I chose you from the world to go and bear fruit that will last, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. It is common to hear the question, "What are you living for?" We all have a rough and ready answer for that. We are living for the weekend. We are living for our next vacation. We are living for a vaccine from this pandemic. But have you ever asked yourself the question, is there anything worth dying for? For those of you who have children or grandchildren, you might have at times felt a surge of love for them so strong that you exclaimed, "I would die for my children or my grandchildren." Indeed, all the small and large sacrifices parents perpetually make for their children can feel like death in installments. But parents don't complain or consider these sacrifices anything but signs of love. But did you ever feel like you could die for your faith in Jesus? Would you ever be able to die for our Lord? That is not a small question, and we shouldn't treat it lightly or answer too quickly. One of the first major heresies of the church was called Donatism. Donatism. Have you ever heard of that? Good. Then you're probably not a Donatist. During the persecution of Christians under the Emperor Diocletian in the late 200s, some Christians would not die for their faith, and they were called traitors. Some of the traitors were even priests and bishops. The Donatists believed that the sacraments that these traitor priests and bishops later celebrated were invalid. Only priests and bishops who would die for their faith were considered good enough to be priests and bishops. But the church, led by St. Augustine, condemned Donatism and welcomed home even those who could not die for their faith. You know, if I had been a priest during the Donatist controversy, I'm not so sure I would have sacrificed my life for the Lord. Heck, I find it hard to sacrifice cheesecake and a good martini for our Lord. In the gospel today, this is precisely the question Jesus puts to James and John. They are worried what they are living for. Whereas Jesus wants them to consider, is there actually something that they are worth, that is worth dying for? It is actually their mother who asks Jesus a favor. Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom. Jesus, without saying no to that request, however, puts the matter in an entirely different light, asking them instead, can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink? By the way, what was that chalice? It was the cup of suffering that Jesus himself reluctantly accepted in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we read, Jesus advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. I wonder if the Donatists would have been satisfied with Jesus' hesitation before his own sacrifice on Calvary. One of the two sons of Zebedee, St. James, would drink from that cup of suffering in Acts chapter 12, where he is beheaded by King Herod Agrippa in Jerusalem, becoming the first apostle to give his life for our Lord. The other son of Zebedee, St. John, would not die as a martyr, but rather of old age, and he is buried in Ephesus, in modern-day Turkey, where he served as a bishop. On this glorious feast of St. James, let me ask you and me that same question that Jesus put to James and John. Can you drink from the chalice that I am going to drink? Some of us who are given the extraordinary grace of martyrdom may answer like St. James, yes, Lord, we can. In fact, this weekend at all the Sunday Masses, we will celebrate the feast of Blessed Stanley Rother, a priest of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City who was martyred for his faith in Guatemala in 1981. He drank from the cup of suffering of Christ. Others of us who are not called to the supreme sacrifice of laying down our life for our Lord can answer like St. John, the other son of Zebedee, yes, Lord. But we will drink from the chalice at the Mass. May the blood of Christ give us the grace to die for Jesus in 1,000 small ways every day out of love for him and for one another. Let us all repeat with St. Paul in Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. None of us lives for oneself, and none of us dies for oneself. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Praised be Jesus Christ.